this is actually the first workshop of program DRC advanced plans on the reaction, diffusion, and propagation phenomena. And
we are hoping to have activities of this kind about once a month, not maybe, so the next time will be actually be in November only, or at the end of November, at the beginning of November, and there will be another one December 11th and 12th. So we hope to have 2 days like that on a sort of regular basis, in addition to which we'll have some concentration periods and also some workshop and a meeting along the way. But this is really the first days that we are gathering. We've had many, all of us have met one another on many occasions, but this is really the first time we're meeting for this. And it's a pleasure to see many young people here, I have to say. We're very, very happy and proud of this. I want also to say that this room was made available to us by École des Hautes Études en Sciences Sociales. This is really the most important lecture hall of École des Hautes Études en Sciences Sociales, and it has a very long tradition. In fact, some of the luminaries of this school held court, as it were, here. In particular, people still remember with vivid memories lectures by the great philosopher, late philosopher Jacques Derrida, who used to teach his seminar here. It's really a pleasure to have this room, which has really, so it's not because of our numbers that we have this room, and it's really because it has really these great facilities. It also has a blackboard. Social scientists do not use as much as we do blackboard, so at least we have a blackboard. In my memory, there were more of them, actually, but there still is a blackboard behind the screen. And also, what we had in mind, also that's an important part, Jean-Michel and myself, of course, we organized this together with Jean-Michel here. And he did a lot of work to not only for this meeting, but he's really co-directing this European research grant together with me. So what we had in mind with Jean-Michel was to really have it as a workshop. So it's really is meant as not as a meeting, it's not a usual gathering. In fact, we didn't do advertisement for it. Only a few people were told about it and members of this group. But it's really meant as a workshop, which means that we really hope that you ask as much questions, as many questions as you want, and that you intervene, and it should be an exchange. I didn't warn Professor Matano about this, but he should have many, many, many questions. and also there will be, bear in mind that this afternoon the last lecture is by a senior person, but the two lectures in the first lecture this afternoon and likewise tomorrow are by PhD students who somehow are going to tell us about where they stand, what are their questions, or where they are going to, and so on. So it's really, again, meant as an exchange. It's really meant as an occasion to interact with PhD students. So I'm very happy about this. So today, since it's the first lecture, I'm extremely happy to have as our first two speakers, Professor Matano and Professor Cabré, who are really long-time friends of mine, and great mathematicians, both of them, and really very, very close to the heart of the topic. So thank you for opening this series. We hope that it will be an hard act to follow, but we'll try to maintain the level. Which would be difficult. But so let me give the floor now to Professor Matano. Professor Matano is a professor at the University of Tokyo, most famous university in Japan, I could say, and he's done a lot of work on many nonlinear partial differential equation problems, but in particular is, of course, very well known for his work on reaction diffusion equations, of many aspects of which he has contributed a great deal. Thank you very much for agreeing to open this session and our works. So please ask, is there any question? So you have to ask everyone, will be checked on how many questions he or she has asked. Okay?
Okay, thank you, Henri, for your kind introduction and also your kind invitation to this important meeting, which is an inauguration meeting for this five-year-long project. And I'm extremely honored to be here, particularly in this famous amphitheater. And since I'm not a social scientist, later I will use blackboard. So today I have decided to talk on some subject which is a recent joint work with two French mathematicians. I thought that this is somewhat appropriate for this project. One is a young person who spent a year with me. Here is the name of the two collaborators. One is Arnaud Ducrot of Bordeaux, and the other is Thomas Giletti, who is here, and he just obtained a position in Nancy this month. And we have been working together for several different topics, and this is the most recent one. And I want to give a brief report on what we have done recently. So the problem I want to consider is the following system of reaction diffusion equations. Here, D is a diffusion coefficient which is positive constant, and U of Tx and V of Tx represent respectively, say, prey, the density population of the prey and that of the predator. But you can also regard this as a model for other problems, activator inhibitor system, combustion theory, some sort of combustion problems. And I consider this problem in the whole space, Rn, and the initial data is non-negative. Here is the assumption. I have several assumptions on the non-linearity and on the initial data. The first assumption is that the derivative of F with respect to V is negative, and the derivative of G, function G with respect to U, is positive. And this reflects the fact that this is a model for prey and predator, or activator and inhibitor. So this is an important assumption. I also assume for some technical reasons, which, however, is a very natural assumption, that derivative of G with respect to V is non-positive. So these mean that if V increases, the first inequality implies that if the population of V, which is a predator, increases, then the growth rate of U, which is the prey, decreases. While if the population of U, the prey, U, increases, then the growth rate of the predator increases. So this is what the second inequality means. And the third inequality means that the growth rate of the predator decreases if if the population of prey is fixed and the population of the predator increases. So these assumptions are satisfied in many, many models. And another assumption is the following. F of 1, 0 is zero, and F is positive. What this means for F of U, zero is positive, what this means is that if there is no predator, only the prey, then it is like KPP type equation. It's not KPP, but monostable. I should have written monostable. It's monostable if V equals zero. And the population of the prey, U, saturates at U equals one. So this is the standard monostable equation. So this means that if there exists no predator, and if there exists a small amount of prey, then it will spread with some constant speed. It's the just a standard monostable problem. Then I also assume that G of 0, 0 is non-positive and G of 1, 0 is positive. So what does this mean? G of 1, 0 being positive means that if the prey has the maximal population 1, then V equals 0. If U is fixed at 1, then V equals 0 is unstable, so V starts to grow. While if there is no population, if U equals 0, then G is non-negative, which means that V equals 0 is stable. So if there is no prey, V just decreases. So this is, again, a very, very natural assumption. And the final assumption we make is the following. For any constant M, there exists some constant, depending on M, such that if you start with this kind of initial data, U0 being between 0 and 1, and V0 between any function, any bounded function that is non-negative, then for all t positive, V stays bounded by some constant C of M.
Where does M come from?
Instead of 1.
M, U0 is below M,
mean?
V0
is below M, perhaps.
Yes. V0, okay, so I'm sorry. If V0 is between 0 and M, you are right. Thank you for your correction. Cm may depend on M. We call it weak dissipativity. The system is weakly dissipative. If Cm doesn't depend on M, and if this happens for all large time, for some constant independent of M, we call it dissipative, but we don't assume that. It's not necessary. So these are the assumptions. And here are some typical examples. This is just one example. dt is d times Laplacian u plus, this is a KPB term, minus some function of u times uv, and the dB dt is Laplacian v minus some constant v plus some constant times p of u, uv. So the prey eats up, eats the, and the predator eats the prey, with this ratio, with this rate, and then it grows with this rate, where mu is some positive constant. So this is also one of the typical examples of a predator system. And here you can also multiply this term by any function of u that is positive here. It doesn't matter. Oh, these assumptions are all satisfied. So, the question is the following. Let the initial data u naught and v naught be compactly supported. How does the solution propagate? As I mentioned, if v is not present, if there is no predator, then this is just a monostable equation for u. So if the initial data is not identically equal to zero, you can expect that u will spread and converges to one as t tends to infinity. And the spreading speed can be computed by this number. F of 0, 0 gives the square root of 4 times f of 0, 0, 0 gives the spreading speed if this is monotone decreasing in u, if this is KPP type. But even without that assumption, you can show that if v equals 0 completely, then this will spread with some definite spreading speed. This is a well-known classical result for the monostable nonlinear diffusion equation. However, the difficulty for this problem is the lack of the comparison principle. It is well known that for this kind of systems, the comparison principle does not hold. And in order to prove the spreading for, say, monostable or, in particular, KPP equation, comparison principle is heavily used to give a bound from above and below. There are also other methods to avoid the comparison principle at some stage, but in most cases, comparison principle is the key technique. However, for this system, the comparison principle does not hold. If v is zero, of course, this is a single equation, so it's just easy, but they are coupled. So the question is how the solution propagates. And we have found some nice, interesting properties, which is a little different from the spreading properties of the single equation. The case of the system is a little more complicated, but still it's a natural extension of what we know about a single equation. So the answer is the following. Both u and v propagate with definite spreading speeds, as in the single equation, as in the case of single equations. However, their spreading speeds may be different. So the spreading speed of the prey and the spreading speed of the predator may be different in some situations. In other situations, they are the same. So this is the main result, and there are further details about this answer, which I will mention later in the slides, and also later I will use the blackboard. By the way, the spreading speed of the predator is always smaller than or equal to the spreading speed of the prey. And this is intuitively clear and also easy to prove, because the prey, as I mentioned, we assume that if there is no prey, the predator just goes extinct. So zero is stable. If U is zero, then the zero, V equals zero, is a stable state. And however, if U equals one, zero is an unstable state, and it triggers propagation V. That was the assumption. So the predator cannot go ahead of the prey because there is no food. They can't survive. So at best, they can go together with the prey. And in some cases, actually, many cases, they are slower. It depends on the derivatives of or the values of these functions. So let me state this result a little more clearly. In order to do that, we have to define two speeds. C star is the speed of the front for this single equation without the presence of the predator. So this is the equation when B equals zero, and then, as I mentioned, this is a monostable equation. And F is positive where if U is between zero and one, and F of 1, 0 is zero. So U saturates at U equals one. And we need another spreading speed, speed, C double star. This is the equation, the spreading speed for V. Okay, this is a typo, excuse me, this is V. dV dt equals Laplacian V plus V times 1V. What does it mean? So U equals 1 is the maximal level of U where U saturates. And if there is maximal food for V, then this is a monostable equation. As a matter of fact, since we assume that G of UV is not increasing in V, this is a KPP type monostable equation. So the speed is equal to 2 times square root of G of 1, 0. While here, we only assume that it is monostable. So C star is larger than or equal to this quantity. However, to make the statement simpler, we can work on this general case. But to make the statement simpler, we assume that F of U0 is monotone, decreasing in U for simplicity. For the simplicity of the statement, then C star is equal to 2 times square root of D times F of 0, 0. If it does not hold, there are still some open questions, and the statement becomes slightly more complicated, but they are similar, but a little more complicated. So for simplicity, we assume this. So this is the theorem, actually the first theorem. Suppose that C star star is strictly smaller than C star, then the following holds. So this means that if the speed of spreading speed of the predator when the food is abundant is smaller than the spreading speed of the prey when there is no predator. Then the following happens. First, for all C larger than C star, this goes to zero. So you cannot spread faster than C star. On the other hand, for any C1 and C2 between C star and C star, this goes to zero in this region, which means that in this region, U converges uniformly to 1 as t tends to infinity. And also for any C bigger than C star, this goes to zero, which means that V cannot spread faster than C star. And there is a constant epsilon such that for any C between zero and C star, limit inf of this is positive, bigger than or equal to epsilon, and the limit sup of this is less than 1 minus epsilon. I forgot to mention one more statement, which is that if you further assume that g of 0, 0 is strictly negative, which means that if there is no prey, v equals 0 is linearly stable. So v goes to 0 exponentially. Under this condition, you can also show that u is above epsilon. So u lies between 0 and 1, but it keeps some positive distance. And v is also strictly positive in the limit for all large t. So under the assumption that the g of 0, 0 is strictly negative, then u is bigger than epsilon, so we have such a picture. So this is the one-dimensional sort of figure of how the solution spreads. Here is the position of C star T, and here is the position of C star T. So if C star, the speed of the predator for U equals 1 is smaller than the speed of the prey when V equals 0, then this happens. We can call it this part leading edge, where both U and V are very, very small. This is a leading edge for both U and V, actually, at least for U. And the leading edge for V is longer. It goes up to here. And between here and here, U is very close to 1. And V is very close to 0. And in the final zone, U is strictly below 1. It is smaller than or equal to 1 minus epsilon for all large t. And moreover, if g of 0, 0 is negative, it is also bigger than epsilon. So U is somewhere between 1 and 0, but it keeps a positive distance from both levels, 0 and 1. And V is above 0. They remain in some compact region in the first quadrangle of the UV plane, away from the axis. And what happens in the final zone is not very clear. This is still an open problem, although in some special cases we have figured out what happens. Actually, in some special cases it converges to constants. It converges to stationary states. However, you should remember that this is a system of equations. The original equation is a system, this kind of system. Therefore, if you just look at the ODE, this system, we may have, in some cases, asymptotically stable positive equilibrium point. But in other cases, the equilibrium point is unstable and we may have a limit cycle. So the situation might be different depending on the dynamics of the ODE, which is still an open question, but in the case where you have a very good Lyapunov function for the ODE, if the positive steady positive equilibrium point is very, very stable, then this converts to this positive steady state. So let me just give an idea of the proof, very, very briefly, just an idea. But also let me mention other results on the blackboard. The other result, as a matter of fact, is theorem 2 is such that if C star star is bigger than or equal to C star, then this part, this intermediate zone just disappears. And you have, after the leading edge, both V and U share the leading edge, and immediately after that you have the final zone. So this part disappears. But intuitively, this is natural because C star star is the speed when U is equal to 1. And in this situation where C star star is smaller, we have a zone where U is almost equal to 1 and V is almost equal to 0. But if C star star happens to be larger than or equal to C star, then it will catch up, because here there is abundant source of food. It will catch up, but it cannot go further because there is no food. So if C star star is larger than or equal to C star, one can expect that this part disappears, and it is really the case.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You say that this is also true when C star is equal to C star star, right?
Yeah.
So do you have any idea where the front exactly is? Can you say?
As a matter of fact, this is still an open question. We need further analysis. And even for the proofs of this theorem alone, you cannot prove just by the comparison principle. What you can use? You can use the comparison principle here. For you can show that this is easy to show by the comparison principle, because C star is the speed when there is no predator, the speed of U. So you cannot, by the comparison principle for the first equation, you compare this with F of UV. The F of UV is smaller than or equal to F of U0, so you just look at V as a given function. Then by the comparison principle for this first equation, you can show that you cannot travel faster than C star. C30. So this part is easy, this one. And also this part is easy. V cannot travel faster than C star star. In this case, you use the comparison principle for the second equation. You compare G of 1V with G of UV. Then G of UV, since G is monotone, strictly monotone increasing with respect to U, G of 1V is bigger than G of UV if U lies between 0 and 1. Therefore, C star star is the maximum speed which V could propagate, spread. And if there is a, if U is below 1, if U is not identically equal to 1, V, the speed may be slower. So this part is also clear. The speed V cannot exceed this speed. So then, what is difficult is the following. One should show really that this is the spreading speed of V. So one should show that for any C smaller than C star star, V is strictly away from zero. V satisfies this. And U, consequently, U is strictly below 1 minus epsilon. But if G of 0, 0 is negative, you can also show that V is above 0. In order to prove this statement, we do some sort of limiting argument. We translate the solution, we argue by contradiction. So how do we show
okay.
This second part is also this second part is not too complicated. Second part. Because V cannot travel faster than C star, so U is still safe. The prey is still safe, so it comes close to 1. The most difficult part is the final zone. So how do you show? How do you show that
for T very large, V is bigger than epsilon, and U is smaller than 1 minus epsilon, or you can at least say that V is bigger than 1/2 epsilon, and U is smaller than 1 minus 1/2 epsilon, but I call this epsilon, so it's equivalent to what I said above. And also, if G of 0, 0 is strictly negative, one can show this. To do that, we have to prove it in two steps. We first show that instead of proving that this is true for all large time, we prove it first that limit sup of V is bigger than some constant. Bigger than some constant, but Okay, I do it. I do it in one dimension. If C is below smaller than C star star, we first prove this by contradiction. And if this is not true, if this is not true, okay, moreover, uniformly in any bounded domain, bounded region around X, if this is not true, then one can show that in any very, very large interval, V converges to zero, and we get a contradiction from the fact that it converges to zero. If it converges to zero, U is close to one, and if U is close to one, V will catch up, and because if U is very, very close to one, the natural speed for V is C star star. So this this area will be dominated by V very soon. So this is the first step. And once we prove that, the second step is limit inf. We have to show that limit inf is also positive. But to do that, we use the fact that the limit sup is positive. Since we know that the limit sup is positive, there are time moments when this becomes larger than some positive constant. And using this fact, we can prove that this large part has to be uniform. Because if the limit inf is so from the first step, we know that there are at least some time moment when V is large. And using this, we can show that this part will be filled and limit inf is positive. And once you show that limit inf is positive for V, you cannot stay close to one. So it is eaten by the predator, so it has to be strictly smaller than 1 minus some positive constant. So this is how you can prove this. Then, if G of 0, 0 is strictly negative, this means that if U is too close to zero, then V converges to zero. V converges to zero exponentially. And then it is again contradicting with this. So U cannot be too small in this zone, otherwise V cannot stay positive. It will converge exponentially if there's a large region where U is extremely small. So if G of 0, 0 is negative, which means that without the presence of prey, V equals 0 is linearly stable. In this case, you have this inequality. So this is more or less how the proof goes for the first theorem. And for the second result is when C star is smaller than or equal to C star star, then as I said, that this intermediate zone
disappears because this catches up here, but V cannot go faster than U. Without a food, it will just go extinct. So they go together. The final result is the following. About the final if there exists a positive steady state. And if the diffusion coefficient is 1, for the moment we can only prove for the case where the diffusion coefficients are equal. And there exists a diaphanous function which is convex. Which is convex and has a strict minimum at U star V star. I call it the Lyapunov function this way. Then in this case, in the final zone, we have the solution converges to U star and V star uniformly in this final zone, where, by which I mean that in this region. And again, this can be proved by making a translation of this, and then you get the entire solution in this zone, where U and V are both away from the axis, and U is also away from U equals 1. Then this entire solution, by Weinberger's invariant convex region method, you can show that solution should converge to U star, V star in this region. So it is not clear what happens. It's still an open question, the profile near the transition area, and also here. Probably this is a nice front, but so far, we haven't figured it out yet. And also in the general case, we suspect that there may be the case where the solution oscillates in the final zone. And we expect such a case, but so far it's an open question. I thank you very much for your attention.